For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Caitlin Clark, the saga continues, Perloff. She gets left off the Olympic roster.
Saga?
It's what? A saga.
Oh, my God. It's been nothing but a meteoric rise. This is not a saga. This is not, oh, poor Caitlin Clark.
You don't think she is... gets any backlash whatsoever? There's been no controversy around Caitlin Clark, not because she's courting it. I'm just saying around her, she's not asking for any of this. And in fact, she's taken the high road at every single opportunity. They should name the high road after her.
Well, I'm just saying, like, this is not a tragedy in her life because she did not get named to the Olympic team at 22 years old.
No.
She has five Olympics ahead of her.
Nobody's saying it's a tragedy and she did not get named to the Olympic roster. Welcome to the show, by the way. Glad to have you on this Monday. Lots happening, and we'll get to all of it. But Caitlin Clark certainly is one of the top stories from the weekend because I think fans were really surprised, and I'll count myself as one of them, because Caitlin Clark is the biggest thing in women's basketball right now, and she's a huge star. And because I live in the real world where I know that sports is a business and I understand that growing the game is important, I was shocked that she was left off the roster. No, is it a tragedy? No, it's not a tragedy. She'll be fine. But I'm bummed. I'm bummed because there's an opportunity right now for women's hoops like never before. And I don't know what it's going to look like in 4 years. Maybe it looks way better. Maybe it doesn't. I have no idea. But I know what it looks like right now. And what it looks like right now is that the public at large cannot get enough Caitlin Clark. So leaving her off this team, which was a choice, because it's not like she's been horrible since she walked onto the floor in the WNBA. In fact, she's been pretty dang good considering she's got, what, 11 games under her belt, 12 games under her belt, and she won Rookie of the Month. She has more defensive attention on her than anybody maybe in the history of the league walking into the league, and she still is out there doing her thing. You could have easily, in such a subjective manner that they pick these teams anyway, you could have easily found a spot for her and her fans would have come with it.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, she'll definitely be an injury replacement, so the whole thing is a bit silly in my opinion.
I don't know.
I'll be willing to double or nothing that bet I'm going to win tomorrow on the announcement of Danny Early. She's definitely going to be at the Olympics. You realize that? Like, there's going to be, every Olympic team has injury replacements, right? Would she be one or two on that list?
Well, let's deal with what we know today.
It's an
what
Olympic
we know today,
team.
She's off the team. That's a choice.
It's an Olympic team. It's supposed to be a team. It's not a marketing event. It's not an exhibition game. Or is it an exhibition game?
Well, they're going for a gold medal.
Right. That's why it's a real team. Like, they should be able to do whatever process they think gets them the best roster. And you could argue that maybe Diana Taurasi at 41 isn't that option, but she's still pretty darn good. She's probably just as good as Caitlin Clark.
Okay, so here's a question.
So my question, and she's out of experience. So I don't agree that it's like a team that should be picked just for marketing reasons. I think it should be picked for competitive reasons.
Okay, the women have won 7 gold medals in a row. They are amazing. Yet, they don't get nearly the amount of attention and respect, maybe, but definitely attention that they deserve for having such a gaudy Olympic record. You can single-handedly help to remedy that by simply leaning in to the phenom that already exists. You don't have to manufacture it. You don't have to create it out of thin air. It's been made for you. It's been handed to you. All you have to do is just reach out and take it. And I don't understand why the Olympic team won't just do that. It's not like you are really making her cut the line. There have been other rookies who have been named to Olympic teams before. This would not be unprecedented. And I think it would also be a great opportunity for her to maybe gel with some of these women, get to know some of these women, so we can get rid of this idea that they're all jealous of her and that there's all this tension behind the scenes. Why not embrace her a little bit more? And that could start with a month to all together in Paris.
God, one of the funny contradictions about Caitlin Clark is not putting her on her team got the Olympic team more attention than it's ever gotten before. Coming down harder to her players fouling her, which is supposed to be bad for Caitlin Clark, has just elevated the Caitlin Clark game. She's more famous. The more we, you know, not putting her on the team is ironically going to be the best thing they can do. Once she's on the team and scoring like 5 points a game because they're all sharing the ball in blowouts, then we're probably not going to care nearly as much. She's actually more powerful being off the team in a funny way. But I think she will eventually make the team. But regardless, like this shouldn't be the kind of issue that you're framing it as about popularity or about team, Caitlin Clark's chemistry. Like, what are we doing? Like, you build a sport by being this awesome competitive product. You don't force it by putting the most popular players out front.
Okay, well, I ask you a question. I just told you the women have won 7 gold medals in a row.
Right, so you're like, it's so easy. They might as well go for the more entertaining
aspect.
No,
what I'm saying is they've been dominant, and do you watch? No. And nobody does.
I don't think as many people are watching the men's because of the weird times of the Olympics lately either.
Well, like,
I don't think people really care that much about this men's team because it hasn't been super competitive lately.
I think that the point is that they've been awesome, and yet something, and the WNBA play has been great for years, but what is happening now? You're catching lightning in a bottle with Caitlin, and it's not a crime for people to like something. It's sports, for goodness sakes. This isn't politics. This isn't solving world peace. I know the Olympics love to say they do stuff like that, but it's not that, okay? Why does it feel like fans are being punished just because they like something? What is that? And again, like, it's not that she's going to be, is she really going to be cheating somebody out of a spot? Did LeBron James cheat somebody out of a spot when he, Dwayne Wade, and Carmelo Anthony sat on the end of the bench in 2004?
No, because nobody wanted to go because it's stupid.
That's not the point.
Well, no. Like, honestly, if other veterans wanted to go, I assume that they would have said, hey, can I go there instead of LeBron, right? Like, isn't that what happened that year?
Perloff, they realized that they had young people who were stars, and they put them in the Olympic team and in the pipeline. This is part of it.
Well, no, but that particular team, like, correct me if I'm wrong, it was a situation like they needed to fill out the roster, right?
This was 2004.
It wasn't a marketing decision, like, let's get the young, or was it? I'm asking.
I think it might have been both. Yes, it was in the shadow of 9/11, 2004. Security was a major issue. I'm just saying that it's like, people are saying that she's cutting the line, but we watch other people, other young players get put on these teams all the time. And
give me another example besides a men's Olympic team where we cut the line and just put the popular player in an advanced place.
There's definitely politics that goes on with the gymnastics teams and figure skating as well. I know that some are trials and judged events, but
The emphasis on winning a gold medal in gymnastics, like, they are very competitive.
You don't think the Carolis were playing favorites?
Well,
they
maybe,
definitely are.
Yeah, but I mean, I think winning a gold, first of all, was super dicey for them, and it was totally different. Like, they could not say, this person's popular, I'm going to get him on here. Like, they needed to win. Same with ice skating. Like, I don't think the margin of error is there that you could do a marketing move.
Listen, it's not the same. You're asking me to give you these examples.
I mean, maybe in boxing or UFC or something, they'll promote somebody, they'll get a title shot who's not ready because they're popular. Maybe that's the analogy, but that's not ideal either.
What does it matter? Why am I being punished because I want to watch somebody?
You're not being punished. If you love women's basketball so much, you're going to enjoy this just as much with or without Caitlin.
Well, see, that's where then we're just denying what's happening in the WNBA. And we're denying what happened with women's college basketball. We're denying the fact that there is this singular person that people want to tune in for. Like, why deny that? Why go against what we all know is true, which is record numbers on her games and record eyeballs and attention? And just like, are we just going to pretend that doesn't exist because it's the Olympic team? I don't get it.
So you're just going to, just admit that, and that's the only reason you're putting her there.
Why?
Because she's so popular.
I think it's because she's popular and because she hasn't been bad enough to warrant not being on the team.
Wow, that's a ringing endorsement.
Well, that's, Perloff, I'd rather have people watching. See, this is what's different about the NBA and about the NFL and some of these other leagues that have been established in a lot and around for a long, long time. They have an audience they can count on who's going to tune in. The WNBA and women's basketball in general are still trying to grow their audience. And by the way, the NFL and the NBA are still trying to grow their audiences too. But you know what I mean? This is a team that has to, and a sport that has to capitalize on the attention that it's being given. And they have something in their, like in their lap, and they're just deciding not to take it full advantage of it.
Actually, I mean, from a WNBA standpoint, this might be a good thing because, you know, there's going to be a little bit of scarcity of Caitlin Clark might be a good thing for them. So people tune in the fall, like her playing in blowouts. I assume these are all going to be blowouts. By the way, you're describing the team. Like, I don't know that that's a huge, such a huge marketing opportunity for the WNBA. It's not really a game changer, is it? Maybe internationally, I guess, but nationally, like, who cares? I mean, it's going to be in August, so she scores 7 points against Greece. That's going to affect the WNBA ratings? And of course not.
Women's basketball in general, because you might be watching her against somebody and you think, oh my gosh, and that person plays on this WNBA team. The World Baseball Classic definitely helps Major League Baseball. It all matters.
I think it's a bit marginal. I mean, I think honestly, like, she has grown the league and she's going to continue to grow the league with or without this Olympics. I think from the WNBA standpoint, you're right, probably be better to have her over there, but this is not a death knell by any means. She's definitely going to play in 2028.
Nobody said it's a death knell. It's missing out on an opportunity. Like, it's sports, which is a business, and if I was NBC, I'd be incensed. I would be. If I'm NBC and I'm paying billions of dollars for the rights here, and I've been a good Olympic partner, I want her on Team USA.
Yeah, but NBC's doing fine. They sell that as ads in 3 seconds. They don't care. I mean, they don't need this.
It's not about need. It's about opportunity. Why? See, this is the thing. It's like everyone wants to put a limit. Is this like a women's thing? Like, everyone wants to put a limit on it. Like, what? The women should be happy with what they have? Pat on the head? Good for you guys? Like, why shouldn't the women be trying to maximize this as much as humanly possible? The men get to do it. Why would the women? Why wouldn't the women be able to do it? Like, what, NBC. What
are they, show me the, like, are they putting on Zion onto this men's team? What's going on with the men's team? How are they maximizing?
Well, he's probably too hurt, but they're putting LeBron James on and Kevin Durant on and all these old guys who they think are still faces of the league.
They're both scoring 28 points a game.
Okay. Like, it's not like Caitlin's out here playing like doo-doo.
She's scoring 16 points a game and shooting 37%. She's marginal on this team. I mean, honestly, like, the NBA is definitely not putting marketable guys out there. They're putting the best guys out there. A lot of guys have proven it. And you say Kawhi's a joke. Kawhi's awesome when he plays. He's amazing. Like, look at his stats this year.
This is ridiculous that he should even be on the team because he's hurt. So that's what I'm saying. Yeah. And I was only making the Kawhi point to show how subjective team building is, because it's somebody who's might not even be available who gets named to the team.
Also, too, I'm looking at the women's roster. It just seems like there's not an easy drop for her. Like, there's a lot of star, like, Hall of Famers all up and down this roster. Yeah. It's not so easy that, like, they just pencil her in, because you are leaving a veteran off who probably earned their way onto it.
Well, then you're so convinced that she's going to make it on anyway because of some kind of injury. Then you'd be snubbing another veteran. So you're going to leave off Skylar Diggins. You're going to leave off someone else who's put time in.
Well, no, it looks better if it's an injury replacement. See, like, these 12... I don't know everyone's game here intimately, but I got to tell you, like, I mean, who are they cutting? Show me the easy cut. I mean, it's like Kelsey Plum and Jewel Lloyd and Breonna Stewart and star after star after star. Asia Wilson, like, I don't know. It doesn't seem like this team is chopped liver. It seems like it's pretty amazing players.
Okay.
So that's why I do think I understand their logic. There's also this idea that if she does get on the team, then if she doesn't start, then people are going to get mad because people are so protective of Caitlin Clark and all that stuff.
But see, that is a bad argument, because then you are admitting that you're reading the temperature of the fans and you're just deciding to go against it. Because if you're like, well, if we put her on the team, but we put her on the bench, people are going to get mad. I thought you don't care what people think. Because if you did care what the fans thought, then she'd obviously be on the team. Just some numbers for you, and this is courtesy of Christine Brennan. Caitlin, 13th in the WNBA in points per game. Yeah. Diana Taurasi's 15th. Second in three-pointers made. She's 4th in assists per game. That's higher than Sabrina Ionescu, Kelsey Plum, and Jewel Lloyd, who are all on the Olympic team. Maybe she leads the league in turnovers, which is being pointed out in the chat right now at youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, because she's on a team that's not very good. And you think that the turnovers could go down if she's actually playing on this all-star team with better teammates.
I mean, listen, shooting 37% for the field, and her team's 3-10?
Yeah, but the team sucking has no bearing on this.
Well, why do you think the team sucks? She's lead the leagues in turnovers, and she's shooting 37% from the field and taking like 20 shots a game.
The team had back-to-back number one overall picks. Clearly, this is not a great team.
I mean, clearly, though, she's not a dominant. That's the other thing. Like, what is she going to do over there in the Olympics? Like, she's going to hit a couple threes. It's not going to be a game changer by any means. I think it's more fun to watch her try and, like, raise this bad team and be like Iowa, where she's shooting all the time, the primary scorer. I don't even think watching her in the Olympic team would be so fun. Like, what's... It's not like she's razzle-dazzle. What's she going to do in the Olympic team that anyone's going to notice?
Hit logo threes.
She's not hitting those now, by the way.
Well, she might be hitting them if she's playing in the Olympics. 855-212-4227. So you are welcome to weigh in on Caitlin Clark. And we asked you on Twitter whether she should be on the Olympic team. And right now, 67% say yes, she should be on the Olympic team. 33% say no. You can go vote at Maggie and Pearl.
Man, I was sort of wishy-washy about this. I'm going to be off the second week of the Olympics.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Why?
Because these are not sports stories. These are something completely different. It's just something about the Olympics is just not like, ugh.
What do you mean?
Just there's too much. It's too commercial. It's too out there. Like the fact that you want, not that you, but other people want Caitlin Clark on there because it's profitable for NBC. Like, what are we doing here? It just doesn't, sometimes like this, it's supposed to be the pinnacle of competitiveness, is totally anti-competitive.
And run by a bunch of crooks. Let's just document that too.
Well, it's just like, this is supposed to be like the spirit of competition. And everyone's like, well, we should put her here because she's the most marketable for the WNBA.
Well, I'm not talking about NBC. I'm saying if I was an NBC executive, I'd be mad. I don't really care how much NBC makes, but if I were them, yeah. I would be upset about
you're
it.
You're totally right about that, but... It's just,
and the other part is, let's not pretend.
Like it sounds like a reality TV show more than sports.
Okay, but also,
like, sports is watching Caitlin Clark try and carry Iowa against a much better South Carolina team. Like, that to me is the pinnacle.
Okay, but
not
Prof,
beating Greece by 40.
You can't be so naive here. Like, of course, sports, that's what you want it to be, and you will get those Olympic moments. But let's not pretend that this is not marketing opportunities. Let's not pretend like this is not business. Sports is business. It's not always fair because it's business. And to put our head in the sand when women's basketball has this opportunity to just continue on this upward trajectory, and it's just, they just took themselves off the rails, like off the track.
They're going to be fine.
What does fine mean?
I mean, the WNBA is still going to grow because people want to watch Caitlin Clark play. They're probably going to even be more eager to see her next fall after she gets a little time in the weight room and comes out and dominates. Like, wait till she starts winning, which will happen. Then she's going to be an even bigger phenomenon, not because of being probably a bench player on this Olympic team. Like, the Caitlin Clark train is not going
to
stop.
Do you think the Dream Team did anything to foster basketball around the world?
Oh, of course.
Right. So sometimes basketball teams matter in the Olympics. Sometimes they do, and Caitlin has had that effect on this country. She might have an effect on other countries.
So if you're talking about, but I don't care about the international effect. I don't care if young Dirk Nowitzki sees Caitlin Clark play. I'm just saying WNBA in this country is definitely not going to slow down because of this Olympic snub. Honestly, like, Caitlin Clark, this is maybe a blip, but she's still going to be pretty popular. I mean, as popular. It's not going to hurt her. It might hurt the sport as a whole, but I don't think it's going to be the disaster you think it's going to be.
I'm not saying it's a disaster. It's a missed opportunity. 855-212-4227. You're welcome to weigh in. Caitlin Clark, she gets a big reaction because she got snubbed from this team. Okay, so much more to do.
Pejorative. She's not on the team is another way to say it.
You say it how you say it, and I'll say it how I say it.
Snub means that she deserved to be on it.
I think she did.
Oh, okay. So that's the argument. Like, her play deserves to make her one of the top 12 teams.
Poo-poo platter, combo platter, play and who she is and stature. Yeah, that's good enough for almost anyone else. It's not good enough for her. 855-212-4227. Dan Hurley, we've got an update for you on that. When could we get a decision on whether he's taking the L.A. Laker job? Don't move. Maggie and Perloff on this Monday.
A lot on the line today. As always here at the Maggie and Perloff Show, dumb wagers are being thrown left and right. We got one who's closest to the hole. When will Dan Hurley or somebody announce his decision about whether he's taking the Lakers job? Where the bet is, whoever is farthest away from the right time of when Woj breaks the story has to buy breakfast. And I am safe. I have 12 noon Bilotti has 11:59. Maggie, you have 1:12, and you wanted to coordinate it with the Inside the NBA program on ESPN.
I wasn't sure what time NBA Today comes on. Well, I think it's actually a little later, but
Woj had to break the first story at 7 a.m. or 6:30 a.m. really
like
early
that,
in the
yeah.
morning, because obviously somebody got wind of the Lakers wanted Hurley.
Yeah, I mean, like Gino Auriemma.
Yeah.
Who randomly leaned over to Dan Hurley the night before and said, you know, you could win more titles in L.A. than J.J. Redick.
It's such a funny story in the sense that, like, when it came out, we're like, Dan Hurley, I never thought of that, but that makes perfect sense. Like, how come we hadn't been talking about Dan Hurley for any other NBA jobs? Does anyone know why not? Did he ever say, I don't want to go to the NBA?
Well, no, in fact, the opposite, right? He'd been telling people he does want to test it. I think this is one of the inconsistencies about the story is that he was the target from the very beginning.
Yeah, I know.
But nobody knew or heard. This was, and also, if he was the target from the beginning, why had they not efforted to interview him in person until Friday?
Keep it quiet? I don't know.
You can't meet somewhere?
Well, they only did like short meetings with the other candidates. And they, because they said they'd get to know interviews. Maybe they needed to see James Borrego. I mean, kind of, we all know Danny Hurley's deal, right? This guy's on TV all the time.
Yeah, I don't know. Some of this stuff just doesn't add up to me. First of all, I feel like it's being pushed on us a lot. It's like, here's all the reasons why this makes sense. And like, we would have gotten there ourselves. Like, we're sports fans. We could put two and two together.
Everybody
a great
got
coach.
There immediately. Yeah.
I know. That's why I feel like it's this idea that they offered him this long, lucrative contract before they ever met with him.
So what do you, it sounds like you're describing something. What strikes you as fishy about this?
Sorry. The idea that maybe, and I think he's going to take the Laker job, so let me just say that, but is there an idea that he was perhaps trying to give UConn an opportunity to match or to come in with a bigger offer or something? Because it's like this full court press of how excited both sides are and how far down the road they are, yet he's not taking the job, still wants to sleep on it, flew back to Connecticut. They had never met in person, yet they knew there was this like love affair between the two sides. I don't know.
So you think it's a negotiating ploy, or it could be?
I think that I would not be surprised if he heard a last and final offer from UConn.
See, I don't think so, only because his current contract with UConn is 6 years, $32 million, and the number's supposed to be $10 million per year with the Lakers, $110 million. It doesn't feel like a great, you know, like they're not close enough to even negotiate against each other.
No, I get it. And I know this is a very small example and it's rather local, so forgive me, but there was a situation, and I know this is going to sound silly, but it did happen, where the governor of New Jersey had to get involved with Greg Schiano getting hired by Rutgers again. Right. Like literally the governor got involved.
Well, yeah, but the Connecticut governor has had to give Gino Auriemma and Dan Hurley his last contract. That's a thing, right?
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. So, like, I don't know. You're saying they're far apart, but, like, who knows who could close the gap when people that powerful have to get involved?
No, like, they had to do, like, the governor had to get involved for, like, a $2 million raise. He can't triple his salary for a state employee.
For the years, too. Like that's a ridiculous gap. That's not happening.
Well, maybe Dan Hurley doesn't need to make as much money for the Lakers. Again, I think he's going to take the Laker job, guys. I get it. I think they're pushing the Bronny aspect on us and how much sense this make when we all thought it would make sense. Like, you don't have to push it on us.
They're pushing the Bronny aspect.
Yes, Woj and and
Bogus, who's pushing the Bronny angle this story?
Maggie.
Wait a minute. I'm simply explaining
it. Loser buys lunch.
Caitlin Clark also on the table.
Don't change the subject.
Was she snubbed? I'm definitely changing the subject. Dan's in Arkansas. Hi, Dan.
Hey. Good morning.
Good morning.
So I was calling today. You know, you guys were talking about the Caitlin Clark Olympic roster.
Yeah, tell us what you
situation.
Think.
Yeah, I think, you know, I saw the roster the other day, and I was thinking to myself, you know, if there was somebody to leave off, who would it be? And ironically, I thought it would be Diana Taurasi, you know, with her recent statements about Caitlin and the physicality of the game and that kind of thing. But the reasons I thought that she should be the one left off was for the exact same reason. If we want Caitlin Clark to be our representative of the country in the Olympics going forward, we would want her to get that experience as early as possible. And Diana, as an aging star, seems to be the person that would be the one to go. As much as she's an American icon in women's basketball, at some point we need to replace her.
Right. And see, I think that having Caitlin on the team with Diana, Dan, thanks for the call, could be good to have, like, the passing of the torch situation or a kind of teaching moment. You know, Chelsea Gray has also been named to this team, and she hasn't played in 8 months because of a foot injury. So there is going to be some kind of injury replacement, but I don't know if it's going to be Caitlin.
Actually, you know, and this is to support your side, it would be kind of cool to see Diana Taurasi pass the ball to Caitlin Clark. That'd be neat. Like, kind of passing the torch.
Thank you.
But, I mean, I don't know. It's not the end-all to be-all.
No, I said they could gel together. Parents are like, ah, what are they doing? They're just over there hanging out. It's like, yeah, kind
of. It'd be a cool highlight, like Michael Jordan at the end of his career playing Allen Iverson at the beginning of his career, that kind of thing. But I don't think they need to gel. I mean, also, too, they shouldn't gel. Like, sports guys, people on different teams should be competitive. Like, they should hate each other like the old days.
Okay, but I heard about the Dream Team, and it was only Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley playing cards until 4 o'clock in the morning,
Michael
and everyone
Jordan
loves those stories.
Yeah, but Michael Jordan was gaming everybody by getting them all to be soft by the time he had to play them in the final. Michael Jordan really, at the end of the day, just cared about winning NBA Finals.
Diana Taurasi and Caitlin Clark do not seem like they are in the same... let's say
stratosphere
in terms of personality.
Oh, I thought you meant in terms of accomplishments.
Wait, no.
What do you mean personality? Like, they don't seem to be friends, or you're saying they have different
personalities? I feel like they're very opposite.
Yeah, but isn't that like anything? The more you get to know somebody, the more they probably have in common. I mean, they probably have a very similar kind of life, you know?
I mean, I don't think she would have made those statements if she didn't want to have nothing to do with her.
Wait, well, how are they different? I don't understand.
I just... from what I've seen, personality-wise, I just think they're very different. Mm-hmm. And I don't see a passing of the torch of anything coming from Diana Taurasi.
So I thought Taurasi's comments got a little overblown. I mean, she said it was going to be a tough adjustment to the WNBA, and she's been absolutely right.
I told you, my daughter's friend lived next door to Diana Taurasi in Phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
Greatest neighbor of all time. Could not be nicer. So I always, and that's why I'm on Team Taurasi.
Get a boots on the ground.
But Taurasi is,
I'm not killing her, but
yeah, she has an edge a little bit when she in interviews. But I think she seems like she's settled down a lot, and I think she'd be a good teammate. I don't know. I mean, she's won a ton. I saw this game the other day. Like, she's like Caitlin. Like, she'll get hot from outside. It's awesome to watch. I don't want to kick her off the team. That's what this caller did.
I'm not kicking her off the team. I don't want Taurasi coming after me. Bogus, you've got headlines for us. Hello.
Everyone does seem to think that Gray, who you mentioned, like, that's the door for Clark to get on the team. If she's not recovered from her injury in a month, that's how Caitlin gets in. Because you have to replace like part for like part.
Yep.
So Taurasi's not a point guard.
Yep.
That's what Caitlin is. Gray's a point guard. So that's the place where if she gets on, it's going to be through that avenue, not by kicking off a forward or a center.
That makes sense. There we go. It's kind of
fun if that's kind of cheap. She gets in just in the injury replacement.
Well,
she said she'd do it. So.
Yeah. I guess the question then is, why is somebody who has not played a WNBA game, even though she's 30, she's an established player, had averaged 8 assists a game last year, why is she on when you don't know if she's going to be
play.
Ready?
Exactly, because people say this is a meritocracy, and it's like, well, what if somebody can't play? Why are they, clearly she's on the team as some sort of ceremonial thing, saying that you're the best point guard in the WNBA. We know that, so we're going to put you on this team even though you can't play.
And the men do this too. It's very much like, who's part of the program? Like, you're in, and then you stay in. And it's almost like a union. Someone's got to leave for you to get in, and then you start the cycle.
Exclusive nightclub.
Right, so there's like a lot, like, I think almost everyone on the roster has played in some form or fashion recently for USA Basketball in the Olympics, either the 5-on-5 or the 3-on-3. So, like, you're in the clique, so you stay in until they can't keep you around anymore.
Also, did you see who made the 3-on-3? Haley Van Lith.
Yeah.
Like, how are you doing meritocracy for the 3-on-3?
So one of the things I read yesterday is that Caitlin Clark has like declared herself not a 3-on-3 player. I guess it's that specific or that different of a skill set.
Mm.
So like, she didn't want to be considered for that thing either.
I get it.
Did Haley Van Lith not make the WNBA?
She's still in college.
Still in college.
Oh, she's still in college.
Yeah, I think Cam Brink's on the 3-on-3 team too.
Oh,
correct,
yeah.
Yes. Cam Brink is also.
Also, by the way, and there's another sub, Rike Ogunbowale.
Yeah.
She's supposed to make the team too, right?
That's number 2 scored in the league, not on.
Yeah. So that's the other thing too. If there's one injury replacement, it might not be Caitlin. which would be...
Yeah. We can do this whole thing all over again in a couple days. Lovely.
Meanwhile, Jason Kidd tried to play mind games with the Celtics in between games one and two of the finals, saying Jaylen Brown was Boston's best player, not Jason Tatum. It didn't work out well last night, and Joe Mazzulla didn't appreciate the effort.
I'm really tired of hearing about one guy or this guy or that guy and everybody trying to make it out to be anything other than Celtic basketball. And everybody that stepped on that court tonight made winning plays on both ends of the floor. That's the most important thing.
Jrue Holiday was Boston's leading scorer last night, 26 points plus 11 boards. Brown scored 21, 18 from Tatum. Derek White had 18 while blocking a P.J. Washington dunk that could have made this a one-possession game in the final minute. The Celtics getting a 105-98 win and a 2-0 series lead. Luka Doncic has work to do.
Derek, that's with the number one team in the NBA, with the number one record. They have a lot of great players. Basically, anybody can get off.
Another triple-double for Luka last night. 32 points, 11 rebounds, 11 assists. But all he cared about postgame were his 8 turnovers and 4 missed free throws. Kyrie Irving added just 16 points, missing 11 of 18 shots in his second straight subpar game. The next two games are in Dallas, but the Celtics have yet to lose on the road this postseason. Game 3 Wednesday night. Certainly by then, maybe any moment now, we'll know who Dan Hurley will be coaching next season. He told ESPN he'll choose between UConn and the Lakers as soon as today. LA apparently made a, quote, compelling case to move cross-country.
What about his wife, though?
I know. Yeah. She hates money?
No, she apparently loves Connecticut and Rhode Island and the Northeast. She's the one running for office.
Like, now he thinks I'm crazy. I totally get it. I don't want to live in LA. I'd much rather live in some cushy East Coast life.
Right, but you go to San Bernardino, like Pete said last week, and then you're fine.
Right.
Much like Hartford.
Pete and I watch these real estate shows, man. I don't even know if $10 million a year is going to get you a spot in San Bernardino.
I love how he's going to be living in a two-bedroom apartment in the valley making $10 million a year. It's going to be a tough life for them, the Hurleys.
I think the Lakers are the choice. You cannot eliminate them from this. Whatever. He's going to the Lakers.
Thank you, Pete. Did you just short circuit? What just happened over there? Are you okay?
I'm tired.
Ellie De La Cruz. Ellie.
That's a tough one.
Where are those Duncan points? When you need them.
The Yankees avoided a 3-game sweep from the Dodgers with a 6-4 win last night in the Bronx. Aaron Judge capped the scoring with his 24th homer of the season. We did not see Juan Soto all weekend thanks to that left forearm tightness. Aaron Boone said Soto was not a pinch-hitting option last night, but is getting close.
He did a lot pregame and went pretty well, so we'll see about availability now for tomorrow.
The Yankees starting a road trip in Kansas City tonight. The Washington Mystics still don't have a win this WNBA season, falling in Brooklyn yesterday afternoon, 93-88.
That's right.
They are 0-12, 5 shy of the worst start in league history. That belongs to the 2008 Atlanta Dream. And this is an odd story, maybe only interests me. Other hockey fans will know the website capfriendly.com. It includes every piece of contract data you could ever, ever need. And now the Washington Capitals are buying it with the intention of taking the site offline. That will not happen, though, until after the draft and the start of free agency. So sometime in early to mid-July, one of the most useful sites on the planet is going dark.
Well, one team doesn't want to spend. That's
Hey! You just had like half a seizure on air. Sit one out. Take a break.
We'll
see you tomorrow.
It's a quarter.
Man, that's...
It's weird.
It's weird. It's depressing information. It's like, you know, someone else is just going to do the website, right? Like, this is whack-a-mole. You're never going to be able to keep this information offline.
Right. So what's the point?
I don't understand. I get why you'd want to sell it, cash out, move on to another project, do nothing else. I'd love to be rich and not work, so I get why the website would want to take somebody's cash, but I don't understand the team doing this because everyone else knows that stuff anyway. Like, you're not... They didn't have unique information that you're not trying to hide from everybody else.
Yeah, they just aggregated it. They just put it all in one place.
Yeah, and like, if you're a team, you have access to everyone's contract, so you know incentives, bonuses, structure. Like, so I don't understand why the Capitals want to buy this to hide it.
It's not even the team. The agents always want the money out there because that's their best calling card, is saying how much they've gotten each player.
What's funny, it reminds me of former Washington owner Dan Snyder used to play games. So like, if a reporter was too close to the story, he'd have the NFL hire that guy. There's a rumor out there.
To kill the story?
Well, he couldn't get the guy fired, so he would, get him a new job or something. I don't know. There were always rumors about, Dan Snyder was always trying to control the press corps in a similar way. Like, it's not a
what
sign
is he,
of
the
stress.
National Enquirer? It's like catch and kill? Good grief.
Yeah, kind of.
I think that's exactly what I just described.
In a huge way. I don't know if any of that's true, but I do think that teams do try and control the narratives. This is just a bizarre way to do it.
Right. It's like buying fan graphs and being now you can't, no one can ever know what fielding independent ERA is again. It's a really strange thing.
Yeah, but people do it in politics. They buy papers all the time.
But the thing is, this is straight fact. This website, there's no opinion, there's no exposés.
Editorials.
Right, it's just a place where you can go and find how much money a third line center is making. And so why do you need to hide that from everyone? I don't know. And no one's explained it.
It sounds like an elaborate plan by some Bond villain, or some kind of 2-bit villain. We'll buy all the info.
We'll put lasers on the sharks.
Yeah, exactly.
What if A-Rod tried to buy the Maggie and Perloff show because I was overly critical of Rudy Gobert last week at the T-Wolves?
And then what, redesign us as some kind of Rudy Gobert fan club?
I have no idea.
Maggie and Rudy in the morning.
I don't know what A-Rod would do with us. It wouldn't be good, David Ortiz.
You know, Gray and Gobert sounds pretty good.
I know.
French? How's your French?
How horrible.
Rudy Gobert is very likable. He's a popular dude.
Popular guy.
Yeah.
100% approval rating on that dude.
Yeah, yeah. And A-Rod, too. The two of them.
That was a funny line, though, that A-Rod had. It was very canned, unfortunately, because everything about A-Rod is just so... just
cringe.
Yeah, cringe and just sort of just plotted out. When David Ortiz said, why don't you have your number in Monument Park? And he said, Big Papi, you're more likely to have your number in here than me. If it had actually been off the cuff, it would have been a great line, but you can tell they rehearsed it three times and someone probably wrote it. It was just bad.
I like A-Rod.
Damn, Bogus.
What do you like about him?
I mean, come on.
He's a good player.
He's a good commentator. I don't know what's wrong with that.
You like Sunday Night Baseball with A-Rod?
I don't like Sunday Night Baseball. I like A-Rod, though.
Yeah. That was a tough one.
I miss Dan Shulman. Dan Shulman and A-Rod would have been good.
It was Matt Vasgersian.
I don't like him.
Oh.
I like Dan Shulman. I want Dan Shulman back.
What did Matt Vasgersian ever do to you?
Oh, he's a studio host. He's not a play-by-play announcer.
So is A-Rod. A-Rod's better in the studio.
A-Rod's an analyst.
Yeah.
I will give you, I'm not an A-Rod fan, but that guy does know baseball. I will give you that.
But he was brutal on the games. He's better in the studio. He needs to talk in 30-second sound bites. It's perfect for him.
I like when he gets interviewed and asked about players. He's generally overly positive, but he's good at that. I don't know who's sitting there watching the Sunday Night Baseball with the volume on.
I'm not.
Well, you're not going to sync the radio to it. You just put it on, you don't pay attention.
I do my own commentary.
I prefer the ESPN NBA halftime show where everyone gets to talk for 4 seconds. And then they go to 9 hours of commercials. Then the game starts again. That's my perfect show.
It's tough.
Bob Myers, what do you think? Well, oh, thank you.
The four of them complete one sentence and they go back to break.
It really is an unbelievable TV product.
Well, it's just funny. I saw Brian Curtis brought this up last night, which is for some reason they started showing just throwback pictures of the 1970s Knicks. What are we doing here?
No. They
30 seconds.
They pick old. They did the 64 Sixers or Warriors. I'm like, why are they showing Paul Arizin or whatever? I couldn't understand what was going on.
Why is Dave DeBuscher on the screen?
Yeah. Well,
why was Josh Hart there? Listen, there was 8 people and special guest Josh Hart to say nothing.
That's what they Martian,
throwing Mike and Ike's at people.
Dr. Joyce Brothers gonna be right.
No, that would be great. Martian said clearly ESPN got the message that there was too much Knicks coverage, so they put Josh Hart in the middle of the finals.
It's unbelievable. I watched it. There was an old, sorry, I know we're running out of time. There's an NBA on NBC promo of the 93 finals about Jordan going against Barkley. It was poetry. I'm like, whatever they were doing, ESPN is the exact opposite. I was so fired up when Casas and NBC and all that was going on. This is like, All I do is think, why isn't this game on TNT so it could be interesting?
Okay, do you want to know a little secret to the sauce here? TNT has almost the same thing. They have a very short segment for their halftime show. The post game, they'll go on forever. But the halftime show, it's the same, but they'll make it funny. They do funny tweets and silly things, so you're left sort of feeling good.
It's a TV trick. But not, you're saying just for five, because during the season, like Kenny runs to the monitor and races Shaq and all that
stuff. They'll do that. So that's, I bet if you really timed out that segment, I bet it's no more than 4.5 minutes or something like that.
Really? Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's weird, because I feel like ESPN gets no time.
They don't. And then they have to go right to SportsCenter after it's over, so you get no post-game.
Yeah. And I bet the best TNT clips are not halftime. It's pregame and postgame. When they have more
Kenny
time
definitely
to riff.
Runs to the monitor. That's
but,
one of the funniest.
But at halftime, though?
Yeah, at halftime.
But
always.
Perloff, it's like your tweet that we have up here that they put it on inside the NBA. I'm sure that was a halftime thing. Because it's just like for a second, they do funny GIFs and funny things.
I think that was postgame. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. I think during the finals, it gets harder, too. I think there's less time. I'm not sure.
Yeah, probably more ads. 855-212-4227. Thank you. I actually like ESPN. This is, I didn't feel like we need to pile on them on this one.
We do. They stink. I like the NBA and NBC. Let's go.
They do a great job. Back. Don't worry. It will be there soon enough. Coming Thank up, you. We've got everything you need to look for tonight. Big night in sports. Don't move.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Want a twist and a turn?
Absolutely.
Are you ready for a twist and a turn? Welcome back, by the way. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. According to Mark Stein, Dan Hurley isn't the only college coach who may be on the radar for the Los Angeles Lakers. So the Lakers now apparently have, I guess, Perloff, what, offered the job to Dan Hurley, and he's the one who's sleeping on it, and he's expected to make a decision on this long and lucrative contract. According to Mark Stein, former Villanova head coach Jay Wright could be a quote-unquote stealth candidate for the Lakers' opening.
Wow.
Yeah, he said, quote, I've been warned early on by one well-placed insider, for what it's worth, to stay ready in case former Villanova coach Jay Wright emerged as a stealth candidate, he wrote on his Substack. The backstory is sure to surface sooner rather than later, presumably soon after the Lakers do or do not land Danny Hurley. So we thought J.J. Redick could have been plan B for the Lakers if Dan Hurley said no. Maybe it's Jay Wright.
Jay Wright's actually, just on the surface, a way better fit than Dan Hurley. Because Jay Wright's got those fancy suits, like in the as an homage to Pat Riley. Yeah. Like, that would be me. And he's also not that old. I just looked, he's 62. If you're going college coach, I think Jay Wright's just as good as Dan Hurley, not better.
I've mentioned him on numerous occasions, Jay Wright. Yeah. Jay, he seems like the guy, even though he's in the booth right now or doing broadcasting, that didn't finish his career.
Yeah, he's too young to call it quits.
There's something there left for him to do.
Well, I think he turned
coaching.
Down the Knicks and the Sixers jobs a couple different times, I would imagine.
Yeah, that sounds right.
But the Lakers is different. You know, the Lakers is very, very different.
Marquee franchise.
Without a doubt. I mean, not that the Knicks and Sixers aren't big. The Knicks may be a little bit bigger just because it's New York, but the Lakers are the Lakers. I mean, I said it's like the British Empire. The sun never sets on the Lakers. It's the Laker fans are all over the world.
It's funny. There was a... I think it was Colin Cowherd said, and it went super viral, that Danny Hurley should wait out the Knicks job if he wants to stay on the East Coast. But I was actually thinking, Tom Thibodeau, it seems like he's got a nice run ahead of him.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Coaches in the NBA come and go.
The Knicks job is probably just as good as the Lakers job. I mean, the Lakers job is, your roster's kind of pinned, too. Like, you're not going to, it's going to be hard to build a dynasty there, right? You need, like, a young star, but you're never going to be good enough to get, like, a young LeBron. Maybe you do the free agent thing?
I don't know. I'd be both of these come with a lot of headaches, but a lot of pluses, a lot of perks. I don't know, but I'm not that surprised by this. What I'm more surprised is, does this actually knock J.J. Redick even further down the ladder here? Like, was J.J. Redick ever going to, was he ever actually in the running for this job, or was this just one big hoax?
Yeah,
it's a hoax.
And if that's true, what does that say about Shams?
Shams, who was the one who had it, who's a very trusted insider.
That is, yeah. That, well, it's not done yet. Who knows? Maybe J.J. Redick will be the Lakers coach in 3 days, and this whole thing will make sense in some way.
Mm.
Jay Wright would be an interesting hire. That would be, that'd be pretty good. Once you open that door to college coaches, gosh, is there any other former college coaches out there? Jim Boeheim?
Yeah, as the Laker coach? Wow, that'd be a...
Gino Auriemma.
Change of scenery.
Coach K could hire Coach K.
Can I also just can I pose this? I know sometimes I get accused of being conspiracy theorist around here. Is it possible that they want to put the Jay Wright name out there, the Lakers do, to get Danny Hurley to say yes to the job?
Yes.
Like, hey, we've got another fox in the hen house. I'm not really sure what I want to say. We have another person who might be interested. So don't take your sweet time. We are going to need an answer.
Oh, my God. Machiavellian mind games you think these NBA front offices are playing. Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss and the crew are just like, yeah, they are really doing all this.
Don't sleep on Linda Rambis. She's a killer. Thank you to Manny Rodriguez. Thank you to Pete Bilotti, Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, Guido's Coffee Drinkers. You guys are awesome today, as you always are. Bye.
Rike Ogunwale.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.